The following is a Northern State Podcasting production.
Yeah! You meet the buffaloes and cowboys in the high, thin mountain air. The ducks and bees and cardinals, the wildcats and the bears. This isn't just a passing phase, it isn't just a flash. You even got old Coach Mike Leach to wear that famous stash. He's the Mississippi Mustache, the Crimson Superman. Wanna beat the Huskies, he's the man who can. He's throwing those long passes to the golden autumn air. He's the Mississippi Mustache, he's the man to take us there.
All right, welcome back to the Fairweather Friends Podcast. As always, I'm Veg, and on my left, Ricky Reyes.
Hey.
Last time you introduced yourself, we've been drinking. Before we introduce our friend for this episode, a few updates. Our friend just waved on Skype. This is a podcast, just so you know.
Oh, people can't see me?
No, we're not live on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was waving to you guys.
We could record it and put it on YouTube.
No, it can go on YouTube, I guess, but...
That's in that little
it's corner. Not live right now. A few updates. The Amazon gift cards I won through Missed Play, playing games on my phone, went toward podcasting paraphernalia, as I promised.
It's a drug.
$20 did not pay for everything. I didn't spend a whole bunch of money.
Nice.
So that's good. And I started playing a new game on there that I had played a long time ago.
What is it?
It's called Dominations, another game where you build a town and destroy other people's towns. But so I'm on my way to another gift card.
Attaboy.
Funding our podcasting dreams one Amazon gift card at a time.
Small step at a time.
Takes me about a month to earn each one on playing games on my phone.
Takes us about a month to record these days.
Oh, man. Life sucks. Too much. I mean, life gets in the way of having fun. Which brings me to my other update. The job, if you've listened to the podcast, that I got, been there 2 months now. They trained me on bundle cut way quickly.
Holy fuck, it's been 2 months?
Yeah, 2 months already. Been working there. So they trained me on bundle cut, which bundle cut is, so it's a wood processing facility. We're the last department. It's packaging. So the wood comes to us. It's all done, except that it's still super fucking long. And so we cut it down to the bundle sizes needed for orders. So I'm being trusted to make the last cut now already, 2 months in.
Yeah, boy.
I got 1 day of training.
You're a lumberjack.
Huh?
I said you're a real lumberjack.
He belongs on the front of a paper towel.
It's not a...
Bounty?
Oh, the brawny. You said bounty again. Bounty's the bald guy. I got a beard.
No, that's
brawny.
Brawny.
But so they're trusting me to do the cuts already 2 months in, which is apparently way earlier than they usually do. And now I'm going to get trained after this on the crane to be the backup crane operator.
Sweet.
After I train the guy who got hired before me on bundle cut. They really like me. I don't know why.
That's good.
Yeah. So things are going good at work. Still doesn't pay Jack.
Smart guy.
I'm going to keep looking at Boeing. They start higher than I'm making already.
Yeah, after that fiasco with those jets that crashed on...
Boeing might not be hiring for a little while.
They're still making planes. They're just flying them over to Moses Lake, according to my father.
Yeah, so our friend for this episode is Christine Smithberg, a.k.a. Teeny. Her dad's worked at Boeing for over 40 years.
Yep.
How have you not gotten your foot in the door then?
They don't ask you. They don't ask you that when you apply online. Who do you know?
You can't name drop Matt Saldivar, who just started a couple of...
No, I asked him about what departments I should apply at, and they rejected me.
And your mortal enemy, David Harries, is the one that got Saldivar turned onto the job.
Did he?
Yeah.
The one person I've never liked, literally in the whole world, that I've known personally. There's a lot of people I don't actually know that I don't like. I don't think I have any other updates. You're always lax on them, but I know you've got updates.
Not really. Lori will be here next week. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I mean, your fiance's coming for like...
A week.
We're going to hit up a Mariners game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Teeny, if you want to go to the Mariners game on the 16th...
I'm going to be on Maui.
Ooh, on Maui.
Oh, yeah. So she spent a year living on Maui, so she uses the correct Hawaiian terms. Why are you going to Maui?
For my birthday.
Oh.
When's your birthday?
A week from today.
Are you going by yourself?
No, I'm going with my mom.
Oh, nice.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I've never been.
Staying at your aunt's condo?
Yep, staying at my old house. I say that like it was a long time, right? I was staying at my old, where I lived when I lived there, yes. I'm excited.
You didn't even live there the whole time.
I did not. You're right. I moved out.
All right. So before we get too far into the conversations, because we've had a habit of doing this, we'll backtrack to how we know Christine, which is how I know Christine. Ricky and Christine just met. I still never call you Teeny. I think I'm like the only one who doesn't call you Teeny regularly.
Yeah, it's okay. You'll get used to it someday.
I don't know why. And it's not even... It's literally because Christine, then the end of it is teen.
Teen, E.
And yeah. Then
Yeah.
It makes total sense. I don't know. And it's way easier.
But our origin story is pretty much the same as me and Ryan's, because met through the Pullman Dominoes also.
Yep.
You worked at Dominoes too?
I did. I worked at Dominoes for a long time. Me and Matt met at the Pullman Dominoes. And then we actually worked at... Did we ever work at a Seattle Dominoes together? Or were we just at the same franchise?
Are you serious?
We opened Wallingford together.
We opened a store. Based, I mean, it was only for like a month, and then she left for another store. But
nice.
Yeah.
So Ricky, actually, there was discussions of him moving to Seattle and working with me and Ryan when we opened Jackson.
Really?
I actually lost my manager position because of it.
He's one of at least five people I know that worked as my assistant manager and went on to be a general manager. At least nice. Five.
Yeah.
Wait, you worked at Domino's too?
Yeah, I worked at the Cedar one and around here.
A lot of my friends have worked at Domino's either because I met them at Domino's or because I hired them at Domino's.
Yeah.
I hired him. I don't know if I hired Blair or if he got hired after. Hook got hired after I left. I hired his brother, his brother's girlfriend at the time.
She ended up being my boss.
My friend's roommate. Or maybe my friend's cousin and his cousin's roommate, whatever.
That's funny.
All in Woolley.
Yeah, everybody I hired that was a friend did not turn out. They were just total fucking garbage. It was so bad.
It really depends. Sometimes you get some good ones. Like Daniel Miller, when I hired Daniel, Daniel was a solid employee.
But Miller's the greatest employee that's ever existed.
it's 100% the truth. Daniel Miller's probably the greatest employee that's ever existed in Domino's. Patrick, if you ask Patrick, he would agree with you to this day.
You guys didn't get to work with me in my prime, though. I was a pretty solid two-way guy. I could run the rush for you, or I could drive.
That's always key.
Still not Daniel, though.
I don't know, guys. I don't know.
No, Daniel, like, he's a sprint everywhere.
I did a Saturday rush in Mount Vernon by myself. And, like, we won. We did rankings, and, like, we won that week.
Well, we had him basically as our only driver at the Jacksonville store in Seattle, like, a lot. Yeah. All of our other drivers were Atrarian.
Oh, the war stories we could have.
Yeah. So we go forever in Domino's. We could do a whole series of podcasts on Domino's. But
yeah, so
we met at the Pullman Domino's. You were the one who basically started the game nights with people there, right?
Yep. I like playing games. So we would have people over to our apartment, I think, first. To me, and I lived with Daniel. We would have people over for board games and stuff. Everybody that worked at Domino's, and I think that's how I met. And actually, I wasn't even really good friends with you at first. I was friends with your ex.
Which she was the reason I didn't go to board game night for a long time also. I mentioned that on the other one. That's why I was like the last one who started going to start going.
Why? Because she didn't want you to be there? What happened?
If you could hear how she would react if I mentioned you, Michelle, or Ashley's names
in
just
button?
Domino's stories,
what?
You wouldn't have gone either. I've told you that. She was jealous.
That's crazy.
And it's because her dad was not very faithful to her mom. So she had trust issues with that.
Gotcha.
Which she trusted me, but she couldn't stop herself from like hearing a female's name in a story. Like I would talk about Ryan and Claudio probably way more than anybody. But if I ever said Christine, Michelle, or Ashley in part of a story, it was like, why do you talk about them so much? but eventually started going. And then, yeah, you and Kelly became good friends because all your other friends had left Pullman by then.
Yep. All my well, still my friends now, but they had all, I actually moved back to Pullman the second time the summer after they all graduated and moved away from Pullman. So I'm great with timing in my life. That was one of the times that I was, you know, solid timing.
Damn.
Anyway, I met Matt.
Have some good parties.
Yep, I met Matt. And
did you go to school with Clay too?
Huh?
Did you go to school with Clay too?
Clay Thompson.
I think so, right? He was there when I was there.
Yeah, he was there. He was there for 2 years while I lived over there, but my first year I was at University of Idaho. And then my first year at Wazoo was his last year there.
Yeah, I remember watching him at the Coliseum.
Epic.
Yeah, I never did. It's probably one of my biggest regrets now. I never went to a Wazoo basketball game.
Yeah, it was more fun, honestly, because we didn't know at the time that Clay was going to be Clay.
Which is crazy, because I told everyone in that Domino's, I was like, I know basketball. This guy's a 6'6 shooting guard, which doesn't exist in the NBA anymore. Like, yeah, I told people in that store, like, oh, he'll be a first round. I was like, he'll be a lottery pick. They're like, oh, yeah, we love Clay, but he's not really that good. It's like, yeah. No.
But then when you go back, like my freshman year was probably the year we went to the Sweet 16. So it was Kyle Weaver, Aaron Baines, Robbie Cowgill. And I think Aaron Baines is still, doesn't he play for?
He plays for the Celtics.
Yeah. He's on the Celtics, but he's always hurt.
So it's funny to look back, because if you would ask us at the time, my freshman year, it's, oh yeah, all these guys are going to go to the NBA because we were really good. And only a few of them did. Maybe only one.
I was surprised Kyle Weaver didn't have a better NBA career. I thought he was a good enough defender to make up for not being great on offense. But
yeah, hearing the name, it's kind of surprising that he never.
He disappeared pretty quick. He was like 2 or 3 years and out.
It was fun to watch. It was fun to watch those guys play.
And then they were terrible when Clay was there. but, yeah, and then you and Daniel moved back to Seattle, where you guys grew up, a few months before I did.
Yep. Where did you go to high school?
Went to Kennedy High School in Burien.
Burien?
It's a Catholic school.
Nice. I went to Catholic school.
Which is, really I ended up living, me and Ryan lived right down the street from there.
That's mm-hmm. cool.
Like, yeah. I was like 6 blocks or something from... No, sorry, more than that. But yeah, I was right down from like Daniel and the school I was in Burien.
Yep. Small world.
And right down the street from us is where they found out these guys have been robbing all over Seattle.
Nice.
What?
Came home one day. It was a bunch of cops all over right down the street from me. It was like, oh, these are the guys who've been robbing people in northern Seattle. Like home invasion.
Because I knew where you lived in Burien, and I never wanted to say anything at the time, but it was not a very nice part of Burien. You probably think so.
Yeah, it was cops in our parking lot of our apartment building all the time.
Yeah.
And then I sent out, after moving there, a pitiful Facebook post of I'm in Seattle now and have no friends. something like that.
Vague about posting. That. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
The original Vague posters.
no, it's something like, I don't know. I was just like, hey, I live in Seattle now. If you're in Seattle, want to hang out, whatever, and let me know.
And we hadn't talked in a few months. It had been 6 or 7 months since we had actually like hung out or talked at all. And I saw it and I think I commented on it. And I think I was still living in West Seattle, but I was going to play trivia in Kirkland.
That is not the first thing you invited me to.
It's not?
No, you invited me over when Liz and Lauren lived in your parents' apartment downstairs. You invited me over for a game night there.
Okay.
And that was like right when Nate started dating Lauren. Okay. So like he was there and people were still like the story on him following you guys home. <That's> so two of the friends in that group are married now, just bought a house.
Nice.
Congratulations, guys. You guys were out at a bar and like Nate and his friends were out at a bar and he ended up getting in the car with them when they went home, and they weren't even going home to like her house. They went home to the other Lauren's parents' house.
We literally went to our friend's parents' house and this man followed Lauren into the cab and she's getting in the cab and he's just following her. And we were all kind of like, is this guy really just going to get in the back of this cab right now? And he just plopped his happy ass in the back of the cab. Like, oh, my friends went home. And he literally slept on the couch of our friend's mom's house. And when Pam came downstairs in the morning, she saw this random man sleeping on her couch. And all of us, as like mid-20s. That was actually the same night as Kate and Randy's engagement party.
I actually met Pam that way also. but I was invited. I was with everybody when they left also. But that was the next morning.
When you know, you know.
Yeah, so game night. And then, yeah, you guys started inviting me to Kirkland Juanita Pub.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't trivia yet. It was goldfish racing.
Yeah.
Goldfish racing.
Yep. It was really fun. They stopped doing it for, I don't know, like goldfish harm or something like that. But yeah, we would go and seriously race.
It was a cool bar, though.
Yeah, they cut a PVC pipe in half.
No, it's like a rain gutter.
Okay. So a big section tube.
Of like a 15-foot section of rain gutter. And they put like wood on the ends or whatever and fill it with water.
And then they dumped the goldfish in one end of it, and you had to blow with a straw behind the little fishy to get it to swim down to the other end of the apparent rain gutter. And the winner was the first person that could get their fish to cross the other end.
It was like a giant straw, like a 2 foot long straw.
It was ridiculous. It was really fun.
It was like a $5 entry, and it was a bracket.
That sounds pretty awesome.
And they'd have all the fish in cups, so you'd go and you're like,
You pick your guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god, I forgot that you'd have to pick your fish before you started. Like, which goldfish looked the most competitive? Oh my gosh.
I'd always pick one that was like swimming around a bunch in there, and then always the terrible. I'd get the one that, like, so normally you blow into the water and they would swim away from where you're blowing. They're like trying to run from it. You're basically scaring them to the other side. Mm-hmm. I'd get fish that would literally turn and start swimming at the bubbles. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah, I never got close. I think Kyle's the only one who did. He won, right? Once.
I won at least once, too. I think Duda won a few times, too.
Damn. Yeah, it was terrible. But it's a cool bar. They had giant Jenga. They had beer pong tables, too.
Nice.
So they would play it on the beer pong tables. But so we'd play beer pong beforehand. And then we started doing trivia there. And Christine and our buddy DJ ended up living in an apartment like a block over.
Mm-hmm.
So then after trivia, we'd just go to their apartment and play, which we should get, Jackbox. Have you ever heard of that?
Nope.
It's really fun.
Xbox. Yeah, the Xbox game, a bunch of trivia games and things, and you actually play them on your phone.
Oh, sweet.
So it pops up a code, and you just go on the website, and you put in the code, and you're in the game.
We should do that with our guests.
I don't know how that would work, but...
We could do it.
Write that down. We don't ever...
Figure it out, Ricky. That's your job. Figure it out.
It's pretty entertaining, though. We're usually drunk. Because of you, I'm in that friend group now, or have been for a while. They get mad at me because there's been times where I was dating someone and didn't hang out often enough.
Oh, big.
Well, it's not just times that he's dating someone. It's every time he's dating someone, he disappears for whatever amount of time he's dating them.
That's not true. I brought Charlene to trivia and to their wedding.
Oh my god, you brought her to a wedding. We didn't really like her.
Like that How I Met Your Mother episode? Where Ted brings random skanks into all of Lily's pictures and she gets pissed off about it and calls him out.
I don't know. it was one wedding that I wasn't...
Random skanks around us, yeah.
Yeah. Random skanks.
I got invited kind of impromptu at trivia.
Yeah, that same goddamn complaint with me, you bastard.
You were in the same town. No. Yeah. What were we talking about? Yeah, but no, it's been good. Funny thing is, I think I hung out with the group more when you were in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Well, not more often, but like I actually started coming to like camping weekends and shit.
Yeah, I feel like I missed a whole lot when I was gone for just a year.
Camping weekends. Why don't we do a camping weekend down here? And don't like to intermingle your circle of friends, do you?
I know. It's kind of...
It's too much effort. Why?
Like... Ricky, I feel like me and you should just hang out and actually not invite Matt. And then we can take a picture and send it to him and be like, look who's not invited now, asshole.
There we go.
It's just, they plan
look how
shit.
Easy it would have been.
People plan shit and I just go. Like... I don't know. But the last two Memorial weekends, we camped up in New Halem.
Nice.
They actually came down here, which, terrible place to camp.
Really?
Also,
camping spots are bad.
Chelan's a good place to go.
Well, you were here for the first one, and then it was right before you went to Hawaii.
Yeah.
So then, while she was in Hawaii, I went to Watershed, New Halem, Wenatchee camping.
Coug game.
Huh?
Coug game. You guys went
I didn't go while you were in Hawaii. I didn't go.
Oh, okay.
I haven't gone to Coug weekend. I need to commit this year because I'm actually getting money back in my tax return, what I didn't expect.
All right. So, yes.
Well, you went last year. It was terrible, right?
Well, so, okay. We can go into that now. yeah. So, this Cougars football season was amazing. It was a roller coaster.
Such optimism. And the future was looking so great for you guys.
Well, we got to start actually all the way at the beginning. So this is not a topical. It's not. We're going straight to Cougar football.
Shout out to Jared Wilder.
Do a little recap. Jared Wilder. So last year's football season started with a tragedy.
Oh, yeah. That was terrible.
So what was expected to be the incumbent quarterback committed suicide.
Rest in peace.
His family has a foundation. There's those flat stick pub bars, which I've mentioned from Seattle.
Yeah.
That's become the Cougar bar, and they, Helsinki Foundation, they have stuff that they put in there to promote it. And I think, during Cougar football games, some amount of money from every beer goes toward it.
That's awesome.
It is.
And retraction from last episode, the newest flat stick pub does have food. We were talking about my friend who wants to open a brewery. And I was like, I don't know a brewery or a bar that has food, games, and is a brewery, which I guess Flastic Pubs is not a brewery.
No, it's not.
They're a tap house, in essence. So the one in South Lake Union has food. So I assume the one in Spokane will, too. Because they're opening one in Spokane?
You told me that, yeah.
Oh. The football season ended. They started with a tragedy. And then...
But I feel like that happened in... I should have looked this up. January or February. It was the beginning of the year. It was not the beginning of the football season.
No, yeah.
It had happened, and then there was this period of mourning, and then what are we going to do now? Because two football seasons ago was good. I mean, better than we have been notoriously. Yeah. I mean, Cougs, literally to Coug, it is a thing, right? So
I didn't understand why you guys were expecting to be so bad. It seems like you've been consistent since Leach has been there.
But we had lost a bunch of people. We lost Falk, who was a Heisman candidate.
Yeah, we've been consistently getting better. We have not been consistently good. So yeah. we have been getting better with Leach, but we have not ever had a season like we did last season. But the beginning of last season was very unpredictable because after it happened, then we didn't really know what was going to happen.
No one knew who Minshew was. He was a transfer, fifth-year senior transfer. I hadn't heard his name before that happened. I still don't think I heard it until right before the first week.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, as Cougars, I think we get most nervous about the stupid out-of-conference game. We played, San Jose State or something like that? We play a Division II team every year in the beginning of the year. We lost to Eastern, twice.
And we play Eastern every year. So we usually, the beginning of the season, but this is true for every football team, they'll rotate their visiting or their preseason games. But we play Eastern every single year. That one is stagnant. That one never changes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a way for them to get more, people who don't normally see them play. And it's a warm up game.
It's supposed to be an easy win for us, but somehow we have managed to not always win.
Yeah, I think Leach has lost them twice.
Yes.
But then we won our first few games, which were no big deal, and then we got into playing some of our conference team, and we beat Utah and Stanford, and it was oh crap. Mm-hmm. And then the Huskies lost to Oregon, which affected our season in a way, which is weird. So Huskies lost to Oregon. All of a sudden, Oregon was ranked 15. We had creeped into the rankings, I think.
Yeah.
At 25.
Yep.
And so game day, college game day came to Pullman.
Finally. Yep.
This just happened to be the weekend that our group of friends decided 8 months prior to be Cougar football
awesome.
Weekend. They go one weekend.
Yep.
Teeny was in Hawaii, so she didn't commit. I didn't commit because I'm poor and was trying to save money to move out and stuff. And so they end up going for college game day weekend. I mean, my cousin went and got tickets. Jared, who you threw out there right away, got tickets. My sister, who goes to school in Spokane, Wazoo School of Pharmacy, got tickets, free tickets from a teacher.
Dub was there.
And,
yeah, so her and my brother-in-law got to go for free. Doug Shout Bighead?
Out. No, Dub. Pacific Takes.
Oh, J-Dub. John Ordell. So one of our, a couple guys we went to high school with have a podcast that's just Pac-12 football. And they're actually with Sports Nation. Got picked up by Sports Nation.
Jack's a writer for SB Nation.
I don't know if they make money off that or how well it is, but
they certainly get cool. thousands of more downloads than we do.
Yeah. We have never hit 100 in one episode. And then we beat Oregon. So then all of a sudden we were ranked like 15.
Yeah.
Huskies drop.
Wait, you missed the Cinderella story part of the College Game Day and Old Crimson playing.
Every week.
So Old Crimson has the longest standing record for being being in College Game Day since what, 1994 or something like that?
I don't know. Yeah, it's been in the background of every College Game Day for like ever.
I'm not a Cougs fan. It was very satisfying to see Corso put that head on.
It was the 200th weekend anniversary of Old Crimson flying in the background. Is the exact weekend that they came to Pullman. So it kind of came full circle. It was a good story.
Yeah, every year they're always like, oh, sorry, Wazoo, can't make it out. But this year they actually did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was after. So
you guys get acknowledgement for showing up, but you never got the full treatment.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I mean, I hear them talk a lot about Cougar fans being one of the better like fan groups, especially for not being a successful, having a successful history.
At this point, the hosts actually look for Old Crimson. I feel like they'll point it out in game days. They'll actually kind of point to it in the background and say, oh, there she is again. And the whole time that they were there at game day, they mentioned a few times. There's a bunch of videos of the buses, the orange buses rolling into Pullman and the welcome that they got and the crowd the whole time. And they have said a few times that was their favorite place to do game day at, which is just pretty cool.
I mean, it's cool. It's a small town where, like, all there is campus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never even been.
Pretty much. We skipped over. So our friend group also does Wine Weekend in the Tri-Cities. That was where we were when we had lost to USC, which was bullshit. They called us for roughing the quarterback.
Yeah.
And then our guy, Minshew, gets hit by two guys in the helmet on the game, you know, attempting winning drive and whatever. At that point, we had one loss. And then, Apple Cup. You were the one who were like, we got to go to Apple Cup, right?
We knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Like, so, all of us that aren't Cougs fans.
So after missing game day, Teeny throws out, hey, we should go to Apple Cup. So I was like, all right, I have to now. So the way the season's going and missing game day. And so us, Lauren and Nate, who we mentioned earlier, and then other Lauren and Kyle went. Lauren and Kyle, not the ones that are married, both their parents live in the Tri-City. So we were able to stay the night there.
Nice.
And go to Apple Cup. And then the worst thing that could possibly happen for a Mike Leach football team happened. It was what was supposed to be showers and mixed snow became just a straight blizzard.
Whiteout conditions and our awesome seats that I somehow found. We were in this third row, second row. I mean, we had really, really good seats. It was a total waste of money because we couldn't really see anything. We were freezing cold and we were being snowed on the whole time. And it was just crazy.
I could see okay because I wasn't drunk. But yeah, air raid offense made no adjustments to try to run the ball more. Minshew from like the first shotgun snap nearly fumbled it, or he did and picked it back. I mean, it was like clear it was going to be hard to grip the ball, and yet they still tried to throw the ball 40 plus times.
Yeah.
Huskies got to play exactly to their strengths, which is defense and running. Yeah. Like,
it's hard to watch. It was a hard way to end the season because it didn't feel like.
Well, hey. It was not how we ended the season.
You got a bowl game.
Yeah. It's the rivalry, the Apple Cup, the Washington schools, but it was also to get the conference championship game.
The Rose Bowl. Like I said, my friend Jared bought tickets to the Rose Bowl expecting to see the Cougars.
Yeah. Well, and it was like this season. So on top of all of it, sure, college, I mean, there's a rivalry, but this season was different. It really was. And it wasn't just, I wish that I can't, it would be silly to sit here and say like, oh, we would have won if it had not been snowing. Cause I've been a Coug fan long enough to know that, you know, that's, it's never a guarantee that the Cougars are going to win.
I'll say that.
Especially in the fucking Apple Cup.
After that conference championship game and the Rose Bowl, I think the Huskies made it clear they were not going to beat us on a nice weather day.
It would have been a different game. I'm not going to say anything about the outcome, but it was disappointing to end the season when, if it had been different conditions, it would have been a different game. And that's, I mean, you should play to the conditions, and that's something that Mike Leach needs to obviously learn, and they should have adjusted their gameplay, but still a shitty, shitty way to end the season. And the season that we had, especially, it was a special season to be a Coug fan.
We still had the most wins in Cougar history. 11-2. Wins, first time ever.
Yep.
That's counting, you know, Ryan Leaf teams when he was a Heisman winner, not Ryan Leaf, the NFL player who was a drug addict and a cocky piece of shit. Which he will tell you. He does. He goes around and tells me all the time, actually.
He's reformed.
So they beat us, but at the end of the year, we, even though we played one less game, we end up with one more win. We beat two teams in conference that they lost to. And I don't know who would rather go get their ass kicked by Ohio State than win a bowl game against whoever we played, Iowa State.
The Urban Meyer revenge game, that was doomed from the start.
And if you watched the Huskies Rose Bowl game, they got beat worse than that score. They scored some garbage time points to make it look better. They got their ass kicked.
Huskies have been successful, but it's been embarrassing. Like whenever they're in the national title.
Yeah, when they got to the playoffs.
And they just got smoked.
Everyone expected. That was they got that bid when no one believed a Pac-12 team was actually good enough. But it was like, well, there's only one way to find out. Same with when Peterson was coaching Boise State.
Yeah.
And after like three good years, they're like, okay, we got to put them in and find out. And same
that
thing.
That Statue of Liberty play that they ran against Oklahoma, though, that's fucking beautiful.
I feel like Boise State was better than the Huskies have been with Peterson.
I think so, yeah.
But, and their quarterback, and he's gotten worse every year. Browning,
he was terrible.
He was a true freshman starter. And I feel like he's gotten worse every year. But
I have noticed that too.
But no, it was a great season. We're already getting pushed down the rankings for this year.
Nice.
Because we lost Minshew.
Because we always are. But that happens every single year.
Didn't you get another fifth-year starter?
So we a sixth year.
Oh, my God.
We've got a sixth-year transfer from Eastern.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't hear this.
Then join him.
Yeah, he had to petition for a sixth year of eligibility. He's already graduated college. He's done. He's literally just playing football in college. Like he has to be getting a job or something, right? He can't. I don't know, but yeah, they actually put out good quarterbacks because they have this happen a lot at Eastern, where their quarterbacks in their fourth or fifth or apparently sixth year transfer to a real school, Division I school, and you know play another year. So, but we're returning more defensive starters than we did last year.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun year. I mean, I hope it's going to be a fun year. I feel like we say this every year.
So now our expectations are absurdly high, where last year they were absurdly low.
You guys are Cougs. You know alcohol. It'll always be fun.
Yep, exactly.
There's always drinking. Yeah, all right, changing topics. I gave an update on my new job in the updates section of the podcast, which is really just me slowly making the podcast about myself. But you started a new job.
I did. Very scary.
At a startup app.
Yes. So I am the 13th employee.
I didn't realize it was that low.
Yeah, I'm employee number 13. Well, and actually I think there's now 16 people on the team, but still very small. It's a company called Feast Fox. And it's a startup out of, well, lots of places. Our software engineering team is in Budapest, Hungary. Our test market and where the Stu is the head of operations. We have a few salespeople and the operations analyst is out of Cape Town, South Africa. And there are four people in Seattle.
Damn, universal.
Yeah, seriously. I have a Skype call tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. because when we do an all hands meeting, we have to figure out a time that works for everybody and everybody's around the globe. So I literally have to get up at 5 a.m. for a call tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning in like 5.5 hours from when we're recording right now.
And you're sacrificing to be on the show. Wow.
What
a friend.
Yes, I get the friend award for tonight. I don't have to be presentable. It's a video. It's not a video call. So I just have to open my laptop and pretend like I'm paying attention. I hope they're not going to listen to this, but I hope they didn't hear that.
I've had those with jobs before, actually. Yeah.
I would always just go out and walk my dog and pretend that I was listening.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. So it's basically a dynamic pricing app for the restaurant industry. And what that means is dynamic pricing is this principle that applies in most other industries really everywhere. So it's the reason that hotels are priced lower on Wednesdays versus Friday. It's the reason that when you book airline tickets, you pay less for flying at 4 a.m. versus 10 a.m. It's basically pricing for market demand. So it is about meeting convenience for consumers. So as a person, is it worth it for me to pay $300 less to fly at a time that's not convenient for myself? And there's always this fine line, right? So airlines have been doing this for such a long time that they understand how to price for maximum profitability to fill up other seats. Because if everything was priced the same, they would never fill up those planes that left in the middle of the night. So they've figured out a way, they figured out an algorithm to make it work and make it most profitable for them so that they're not losing any money on those tickets that are cheaper. And same thing with hotels, it's surge pricing and Uber. Actually, Uber literally got rid of the word surge pricing because everybody was pissed off about it. But the principle applies in most other industries. It's sort of like happy hour in restaurants, but that concept has never really been explored in the restaurant industry globally. And this is literally the first platform that has ever dug into and explored how feasible it is in the restaurant industry. So it's very exciting, but I'm a salesperson and I hate sales.
All right. And I feel like you didn't even explain what it does. So basically your app.
That sounded very exciting.
The app like basically offers people cheaper food at an earlier hour.
Exactly. So my job
outside of prime time.
So my job is to walk into restaurants and explain the concept in a short enough amount of time that they don't lose interest. But it basically means that anybody that has this app, they download the app. And if at 3 and 4 o'clock, you can get 40% off of the bill by eating at that time versus 7 or 8 o'clock, which is when people normally eat dinner and paying 100%. It's that value perception of, is it worth it for me to change my habits to eat at a different time because I'm going to pay less for that meal?
So it's not like a price line when like hotels have empty rooms. Like, well, here, let us sell that room for you. You get a customer that you wouldn't have had.
I would say yes, that I would change my habits.
Exactly.
To get the better price.
You exactly. Just but, and eat there's lunch later. Sleep until 10, have breakfast at 11 and lunch at 4.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely catered to, there's definitely a sweet spot that we're trying to get to. So if it's only 5% difference, you're not going to change your habits. If you're only saving 5%, why are you going to eat at 4 o'clock versus 7 o'clock? So it's figuring out the best kind of value and the best percentages to apply it at different times so that the restaurants aren't losing any money. They're not losing, because if you priced too many things at too much of a discount, nobody would actually eat at the normal time. So it's figuring out that sweet spot for the restaurants themselves. Then people can go on the app and it's a really, really neat platform. Our software engineers are incredibly talented. It takes your location, so it gives you the restaurants within your area down to the yard. It gives you the Google rating. You can go onto the platform. You can look and see what's around you, but you can also look and see the specific promotions that the restaurants are actually using to get people to walk in the door. And you have an option based on different promotions that restaurants are running to get people in the door during their slowest times. And the kickback I've had is, really the biggest kickback I've had is that it's new in Seattle. But our test market is in Cape Town, South Africa. And we have 200 restaurant partners in South Africa and 10,000 users and social media followers. And it was basically, we went in with this hypothesis of this is something that's going to work, but we kind of had to test it out. It was overwhelmingly successful. Restaurants love it because they fill up tables when they would have no tables. So even at 30 or 40% off the bill, the only variable cost they're losing is food. The staff is there. Tables are there. Lights are on. Building is open. They're there already. The only thing they're losing money on is food.
Yeah, so I mean, it's kind of like with Uber Eats. Like restaurants, there's no, you sign up for it. You set it up so you can, people can order delivery from your restaurant. It's like, you're not losing anything.
Yeah, you just gain customers.
Gain customers, and somebody else is doing the legwork.
Yeah, I ordered Little Caesars earlier. I wouldn't have gone if I didn't get it delivered.
As a server, I would think you'd want your restaurant to do it because you're probably going to get tipped pretty good.
Yeah.
From people who are getting cheaper food
and who are
hit or miss, because they're gonna tip you on the amount that they're paying. They're not gonna tip you on the normal amount.
I feel like though, if I knew I'm saving 40%, I would add like an extra $2. Like I would.
Who are a good human, and not everybody that eats out of.
The nicest thing anyone's ever said about me.
It's because we're former Domino's employees and we know the struggle.
That's true. I'm
that way too. I'm a good tipper. If you've worked in the industry, then you have more knowledge.
Actually, I remember now you and Daniel would literally like compete on tipping. Like you guys would be hiding your tickets.
We're weird.
And then see who tipped more. Like
that's great.
Yeah, we're weird.
But yeah, it's from working in tips.
Yeah. But anyway,
I mean, the name again, Feast Fox, like, I definitely will download it so that if I'm going down to, like, a Mariners game.
Yeah, I'll download
it. Like, the game's at 7. I'm usually looking to get some food around, like, 5, 5:30.
Yep. We don't even need a Wii Blown Up. All we got to do is cut the promo before that and then just run an ad for them.
She doesn't know what Wii Blown Up is because she doesn't listen.
I don't blame you.
Anyway, it's a neat concept. It's hard to get people on board. I'm a salesperson and I've been struggling because more than just being a salesperson, I feel like people are already cold to me because I'm a salesperson. So if anybody is in the restaurant industry and a person walks in a blazer, which I try actually not to dress too nice. I've tried to be kind of in the middle.
Yeah, you don't want to intimidate people.
It's not even intimidating. It's just I look like a salesperson. People don't want to spend the time to listen to what you're doing. So even though I'm not really walking in with like a pencil and saying, here, buy this pencil because it's better than this other pencil, it's getting past the point of actually having a conversation with somebody because I'm a salesperson. When I actually get to have a conversation with somebody, it's not only getting somebody to buy into the platform, it's an entirely new concept. So it's getting somebody to wrap their minds around the fact that this dynamic pricing works in restaurants and not just other industries, but it's a concept that has not been explored in restaurants. And so that has actually been the hardest part, is that it's not explored in restaurants and it's brand new. So it's been hard, but I like it a lot. The company is awesome. The CEO is incredibly smart. I'm going to name drop here really quick because I can. Our biggest single investor, his name is Mike Maples. Do you know who Mike Maples is?
No. What?
Mike Maples is he's a venture capitalist that's ranked in Forbes as the 12th best venture capitalist in the world. He is the first guy to invest $500,000 into Lyft, which went public last week for $15 billion.
Well, that I've heard of.
Yeah.
He invested $500,000 into Lyft 10 years ago. He invested $1 million into us.
Wow.
So we have some pretty significant players on board. He's our key advisor as well. So I feel like we're set up in a position to actually be successful. At this point, it's just kind of getting us off the ground that is the challenging part.
So this podcast interview could be really useful if we had a following.
it could.
I mean, I've worked in sales a little bit, hated it. The hardest part is definitely getting people to sit down and listen to you.
I can't imagine. I didn't even like upselling.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely need to try to just establish like a relationship.
Yep, that's
and the first time you come in, not be coming in trying to sell.
Yep, that's my strategy, because I've worked in restaurants for such a long time in lots of different capacities. Domino's was definitely my longest stint, but I have worked in other restaurants. I've been a server, I've been a bartender, I've been a busser, and I've been a general manager. So I can talk to you about your labor cost and your food cost and your operational difficulties in running a restaurant in Seattle. I can talk to you about all that. So my strategy really has been, hi, I just want to talk to you about what it's like to run a restaurant in Seattle. And I can kind of guide the conversation towards, oh, what do you do for marketing? Oh, what about your slow hours? Interesting. I have this thing and I've been successful in good conversations, but I haven't signed any partners yet.
I maybe wouldn't start so many sentences with O.
I mean, I
that's my advice.
I don't actually say that in real life. Thanks, Matt.
Oh, did you know? No. No, it sounds cool. Yeah, I haven't downloaded it yet. Probably should do that.
Yeah.
I'm not okay.
I haven't listened to an episode of the podcast yet. So, I mean, we're even.
But yeah, we're going to the Mariners game on the 16th, so I'll have to download it before that and see if there's any on there yet.
Lodge, I'm in the middle of not negotiating, but the supervisor, the regional manager of the Lodge, I've been back and forth with talking to. So,
oh, I like the Lodge.
Yeah. Yep.
They were right down the street from us at when I was at Capital One.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lodge, I know they took us for lunch there a couple times.
Yeah. The GM at that place, he's awesome. His name is Joey. When I walked in the first time to have a conversation with him, because I don't expect to have like a pitch type conversation the very first time I talk to you. I expect like 5 or 10 minutes. And then if you're curious about it and if I've explained it well enough, you'll be interested and you'll kind of keep engaged in the conversation. And we ended up talking for an hour about the concept itself and the platform. So the Lodge is really one of my biggest leads right now. I hope that they sign because I think it'll be good for them.
No, they that's awesome.
Their business swings significantly. I didn't realize this. They do, well, he told me, so I can tell you. They do like 20,000, 25,000 during Seahawks games and like 600 during non-game days.
Well, so Ricky, wow. This place is like a block down from the stadium.
Yeah.
It's like that Occidental that runs by like from Safeco like along CenturyLink.
The one that they want to.
So at the end of that, you take a right and it's just basically around the corner. But which reminds me, so when I was in Seattle working for you at the catering company, and I kept looking up, trying to figure out a bar that used to go to at Capital One, I couldn't remember the name. The reason I couldn't find it online, they closed. It was FX McRory's.
Oh.
Which is right there, pretty much across the street from the Lodge, like on the same side, but like, it closed. Like, I don't know. This place seemed super, like, successful. Hey, Matt. Yeah,
getting a restaurant in Seattle is really hard.
Our drop in from Matt, from Ricky's brother, Matt, that happens not every other podcast.
Yep.
Hi, stranger.
Can we ride to the store? We got a guest.
I mean, I can after. Damn. What causes it midnight? Oh, shit. And I didn't bring my. Never mind. FX McRory's. That's where we used to go from Capital One all the time for happy hour because they were right there. Tons of they advertising most whiskey things, whatever.
He's got 20 minutes.
FX
McRory's, is that what you said?
Yeah. That's where I watched the World Series between the Indians and the Cubs.
Been to the place where that's right by the bubblegum wall. Bar right there.
Was a few, but over in Pike Place.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only place I've been to in Seattle.
Well, we'll have to hopefully Lori's down here early enough on the 16th. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We can wander around. All right, well, this seems like a good time for what Ricky was talking about earlier. We blowing up.
Should we actually just do an ad for her company?
I mean, she basically did. We can do that though. We'll do one. So, We Blowing Up is for those who haven't listened to the podcast. As in our guest. We're clearly really good at this. This is what I said like every time. We're clearly really good at this. So eventually we're going to have people beating down our door to sponsor us or to get their
ads read.
Yeah. So we do fake sponsors usually. But we'll do one for Fusebox. Why not?
Yeah.
Cool.
We just do a fake skit basically.
Beautiful.
Sometimes I make things up. Like, never mind.
Like not being able to...
Ricky knew exactly what I was referring to. Hopefully if people listen know that was only,
not
half,
made up.
Only half true.
It's totally true.
But so we'll go to this break, and when we get back is our other reoccurring segment, Fan or Phony.
Bum bum bum.
So our sponsor for this show is actually more of a promotion for Feast Fox, which we already talked about a little bit. Christine's part of their Seattle sales force trying to get restaurants on board. She kind of explained what the app does with their dynamic pricing and everything. But I figured I'd go into it with a little more layman's terms. basically, like I mentioned before, like Priceline will help you help hotels fill rooms when they have empty rooms. FeastFox basically fills tables during times of the day when people normally don't eat. So instead of going to dinner between, you know, 6 and 8, you can go on FeastFox and find some restaurants where you can get deals, 40% off, 50% off, whatever, and go eat dinner at like 4 o'clock. You know, helps the restaurant because it fills the tables when they normally would be empty. Helps people save money if you're willing to eat, you know, at somewhat abnormal times. But overall, I mean, why wouldn't you check it out? All you got to do is download it and look. If there's nothing, you know, nowhere you want to eat, no good deals at places that you'd like to go to, then don't go. But check it at 4 o'clock. See if you can get a reservation at a nice restaurant for 40% off. Go have dinner early. And then go out for dessert afterward. And then make sure that you pass some of that savings on to the waiters, waitresses. Those people basically live on tips. I know if you've never worked on tips, you're probably not really aware of how true that actually is. But it's a big thing. I do say, though, make sure they earn it. You know, they shouldn't feel entitled to tips just because they're a server. But if they did a good job, give them some tips. They're getting minimum wage, probably. And like I said, check out FeastFox, download the app. They're going to be available in Seattle. So if you go to a Mariners game or something and you want to get some food before the game, check it out and see if you can find some deals. I know that she mentioned the Lodge. I've been there. It's a really good restaurant. Sounds like she's close to getting them to sign up. So that'll be really cool. Definitely if you go there, get their mac and cheese. I think they had options for stuff on top like bacon or breadcrumbs. It was really good. I used to work down the street. It's delicious. But again, one last time, that's Feast Fox.
Yeah. And we're back. Yeah, we recorded and later and edited it in. So we're back.
It was really good too.
With Teeny. Yeah, it was great. Go to Feast Fox. Go to Feast Fox. Download the app for Feast Fox.
Yep.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. But and if
our restaurant partner, use FeastFox.
Use FeastFox.
Yep.
On Hawaii, use FeastFox.
You guys have like a slogan for your company or anything?
Oh yeah, is there a slogan?
I'll make one. The dynamic pricing tool, the dynamic pricing marketplace for restaurants. There you go. Bam.
Okay. You might want to work on that. You use dynamic a lot now.
You gotta listen to the episode. You don't listen to our show either.
We got Matt asking
like 18 hours of podcast a day.
Yeah, Fan or Phony, I originally named How Well Do You Know the Things That You Claim to Be a Fan of.
Okay.
Fan or Phony is much better.
I know. But I really like saying the long version. But yeah, so you already did trivia tonight, but we're gonna make you do more trivia. Harry Potter trivia.
Perfect. Right on.
Because I know one of your favorite things to do is watch the movies. I think these are basically based off the movies. So these are directly off of Pottermore. Quizzes from Pottermore website.
Okay.
What house are you?
Oh, man. I'm nervous.
Have you taken the Pottermore quiz to sort into a house?
No, I have not.
Me either.
Really? Well, what house would you proclaim yourself to be in?
I mean...
See, we could have done the house quiz, Vic.
We could do the... I mean, we could always do that, but the sorting...
Vig, you're definitely, what's that, Slytherin?
Slytherin?
You're a Weasley little guy.
I think he's a Hufflepuff.
Weasleys are in Gryffindor.
I think he's a Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff? No, he's not nice enough to be in Hufflepuff.
What's the one where they do logic quizzes? Is that Ravenclaw?
Yeah.
I'll go Ravenclaw.
I can see Ravenclaw, yeah.
They ask weird philosophical questions. I like to get philosophical.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll alternate asking you questions. We'll give you the answer. You give us the question. Jeopardy stuff.
Hey.
Wait,
joking. No.
Okay.
That would make.
I also watched Jeopardy an embarrassing amount. So.
That's true. I watched it. So I stayed at her place when I worked at the catering company in December and watched Jeopardy with her and her family.
You brought this up. I remember. I love watching Jeopardy.
Did I bring it up on the podcast?
It's a very rewatchable show. You wouldn't think it is, but. If it's an episode you haven't seen.
Well, and they record it, so they watch like 3 or 4 episodes in a row.
Hell yeah. Trivia rules.
I'm a total dork, but yes, we record Jeopardy at the Smithburg House.
So you're like Rosie Perez in White Man Can't Jump?
Oh, yeah, she got on the show in that movie.
What?
You've never seen that movie, have you?
No.
White Men Can't Jump?
No.
Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes?
Woody Harrelson's a hustler, a basketball hustler, and his girlfriend's big dream is to get on Jeopardy.
And she does, and she wins.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Spoilers. Spoilers. Okay. We'll alternate asking you questions. We're not actually keeping score or anything.
Okay.
I was going to jokingly ask you what the Sorting Hat's real name is, but that's not a real thing. What's the Sorting Hat's name?
The internet.
All right. You want to go first, Ricky?
All right. What does Harry Potter get as an anonymous Christmas present in the Sorcerer's Stone?
The Cloak of Invisibility.
Correct.
I translated these two. On Pottermore, they use Philosopher's Stone for everything.
Okay.
And there was a few other things where they said weird things. Instead of sweater, they said, like, jumper.
Oh.
And we got to give you the ceremonial.
Oh, yeah. Ricky's got sound effects. Could you hear that?
No, not really. Oh, yep. Now I can.
All right. For some reason, a lot of the questions on the quiz thing online were Christmas present related. I'm not even joking.
Okay, God.
So many of them were like, what did people give each other for Christmas? So the next question is, what does Hermione give to Creature as a Christmas present?
Oh, God.
And this isn't fair totally to you at all, because when you do it online, it's multiple choice. I'm not giving you multiple choice.
I feel like it's... Is it a hat?
No, Creature's not Dobby. That would free him. You can't do that.
Is it a feather?
A feather?
For some reason, I had feather in my mind.
Quilt. I don't think
it's a what?
A quilt.
Oh.
Give him a patchwork quilt.
Okay.
Have you ever referred to a feather as a bird leaf?
No, but now I'm going to.
All right. In Chamber of Secrets, what is the name of the book that Ron gives Harry for Christmas?
Are you kidding me? Another Christmas present?
I told you a lot before Christmas related. Well, they had Christmas in every single book. They never skipped, like, what they got for Christmas.
Christmas is big in England, apparently.
Later, you're going to ask, I think it's going to ask you what Hagrid got him for Christmas.
Yep. The name of the book.
Can is you, for, like, about, half credit, can you give, like, the subject of the book?
Is it a book about Quidditch?
Yep.
So is it...
Yeah, I don't remember.
The... I don't remember what it's called, but I remember what it was about Quidditch and their favorite Quidditch team.
Yeah, I figured you'd give me the point for it. No, a point. Half point. Come on. We're not even keeping track anyway. What was it, Riggy?
Flying with the Cannons.
Okay.
Because Ron's favorite team was the Chudley? I'm looking at Ricky. And Chudley Cannons or something like that?
I've read the first book and seen the first movie, and that's
sounds
it.
Funny. Oh, my God.
I hate the movies. All right. In The Sorcerer's Stone... What made Ron's sweater different than Fred, George, and Percy's? Other than color. Because they're all different colors.
His sweater? What made his sweater?
Yeah. So the sweater his mom makes them all for Christmas. What's different about Ron's than Fred, George, and Percy's?
Are you sure that it wasn't their dress robes?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you sure? Or are you sure by what you read?
No, I am sure, because the dress robe. No, when you hear the answer, you'll be like, "Oh yeah, I thought you'd get this one." Think more Fred and George than Percy.
Fred and
they're
George's,
twins.
Fred and George, were they?
Percy Jackson.
I don't know. Did they have like their initial on it or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, the first letter of their name on them, all of them.
I thought that was too easy.
Except Ron.
That deserves a...
That's okay. Why I said Fred and George. So Fred and George, they... You know,
no, was... I knew that. I just thought that was... I thought that was too easy of an answer. But okay, they had their initials on them.
It's funny, I say I read the first book, but I never actually did. I did a book report on it, and I just freestyled it and made people laugh. And I
it's
got
not
it.
Even the only question about the sweater that Ron gets from his mom.
Oh my gosh.
Look, I went on Pottermore. I didn't get to choose. I could have made it my own, I guess. But
does that say creature?
Yeah, creature. Oh, it's another creature question.
Okay, what thoughtful present does creature send to Harry at Christmas? We're going to have to hold on to this podcast for another couple of months and release it.
There's a lot of quizzes on Pottermore. That may, one of them may have specifically been about Christmas questions. It didn't say Christmas on the quiz, but...
I think you didn't do enough of a good job at finding one that wasn't about Christmas presents, but I'll keep trying. What did creature give Harry? I remember it being something gross.
Yep. Nailed that part.
Yep. Half point like, for that.
It's like a dead animal or something like that?
Kinda.
It's what forms on dead animals.
Oh, yeah.
Is it bird leaves?
point for using bird leaf.
Callback. Good callback. What crawls over dead things?
Maggot? Okay. He gave him a maggot?
In what way is that thoughtful?
A package of maggots? It's not. Creature hates him.
But it says thoughtful.
It was supposed to be thoughtful in quotations.
It isn't.
Yeah. Creature hated him. Yeah. Okay.
He was Creature's master. He literally later came to love him. Or at least like him. I don't know. All right. From the Fred and George quiz. Who took Angelina to the Yule Ball? Fred or George?
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? I was really confident. I was really confident shot. In this quiz because I got the Cloak of Invisibility right.
Yeah, that was an easy one.
We're harsh in your quiz buzz.
No, I don't know.
And that was from the same quiz as Oh, no, that was Christmas related too. Never mind. Now that I think about it, that whole quiz was Christmas related. But it didn't say that on the title.
You could have read the questions and figured it out, though. But I'll keep going.
He wrote them down and he didn't figure it out.
George.
No, it was Fred.
Aw, damn.
But it's only... Now, Ricky's the only one who has questions from that anyway. The rest of mine are from the Fred and George quiz.
Mine are all from Christmas.
But they're not all like Fred or George.
Okay.
All right, so what color is the jumper that Mrs. Weasley gives to Ron?
Oh, yeah, so see, it said jumper. Later, I changed it to sweater. So what color is the sweater that Ms. Weasley... makes for Ron.
Isn't it like a burgundy?
Ooh, that's kind of close.
Isn't it like red and...
I'll give you a hint. Adam Levine.
Oh,
maroon. Maroon and burgundy are the same color.
That's what I said. We said close.
Yeah, maroon and burgundy are the same color. Okay, got it right. Nailed it.
On the online one, they give the multiple choice, right? And they put maroon, they put it next to it. next to it, they put... in parentheses again. It was like, obviously that's the right answer then. It was the only one they put that on.
Huh, okay.
Oh, son of a bitch. I forgot to do sad jumbo.
Yeah, that's what you were supposed to get when you got them wrong. This is a tough one, I think. What broomstick do Fred and George use playing Quidditch?
Did you just say Quidditch?
He definitely did.
You mean Quidditch?
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 That's like Stewie pronouncing Cool Whip.
Cool Whip? Cool Whip? Whip? Cool Whip?
Well, in Quidditch, they Quidditch. Flew...
What makes your pronunciation more right than mine?
It's
because
the right...
You completely stressed on the second part
Quidditch.
Of the word.
It's a made-up word. Why did you get to choose the correct pronunciation?
That's how
it made up word 20 years ago. Now it's a goddamn sport.
That's just how it's pronounced.
People do play it. For real. They have actual tournaments.
I know.
So Harry's broomstick is the Nimbus 3000.
So he starts with the Nimbus 2000.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Gets a Firebolt.
Nimbus, I would have known that.
The other two, if I give you the other two that were came up on the multiple choice, I'm basically giving you the answer.
Yeah, give me the two that came up on the multiple choice because I want to know.
Well, it was the Nimbus 2000, a Firebolt, Clean Sweep 5, and Clean Sweep 7.
I'm gonna go with clean sweep 5.
Yes.
Okay.
So the quiz is way easier when you get multiple choices. I got everything right. I had to answer it.
Thank you.
I had to answer questions to get the next question. So.
And what does Ron give Dobby for Christmas?
Again with the Christmas.
He actually gave him 2 things. What does Dobby love more than everything?
Mittens and a hat or socks?
One is right, yes.
What are your shoes? Yeah, socks. No mittens and hat.
Was socks right?
Yep.
Yeah, socks was right.
Socks is favorite thing in the world.
And a hat. A beanie.
No, he shrunk down his sweater and gave it to him.
Oh.
Because he hates his mom's sweaters.
That's so sweet. I forgot about that.
All right, this one you better get right. I had to do a little thinking, but it's pretty easy to deduce.
Okay.
In which book did Fred and George give Harry the Marauder's map?
I feel like they had it in The Prisoner of Azkaban. Did they have it in Chamber of Secrets?
I mean, think about what's the first thing he uses it for.
I can't remember.
Oh, I might just know Harry Potter better than you.
I think you do. But I'm going to go with Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, that's right. The first thing he does with it, he uses it to go into Hogsmeade.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was my thought. Was like, oh, so the first thing he did was Hogsmeade, and that's year 3.
Yeah, because the Dursleys wouldn't sign
his thing. Yeah, so he couldn't go in.
Yeah, I actually didn't even think about Hogsmeade. I was literally thinking about him watching them in the tree. I was actually picturing the part of the book where he's following them on the map and he sees Peter Pettigrew on the map in the tree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. I got it right.
What did the gold chain that Lavender bought Ron for Christmas say?
Oh. So dumb. I would never get this right.
Oh my God. I don't think it was his name.
No.
And I don't
that was a couple of the multiple choice options were like Juan Juan and
yeah,
my Ronnie or something like that.
I don't think it was Lavender's name.
Nope.
Like Muffin or something like that?
Close.
It's pretty close. It was basically a nickname. We're starting to say it. Say that again. Sorry, we cut you off.
Sweetheart? Sweet pea?
Oh, you stop guessing. Yeah, my sweetheart, yeah. Okay. My sweetheart. So that's one thing I've noticed about the Skype is it will mute your mic if like we start talking.
Oh, okay.
And so I think vice versa too.
Oh, okay.
And the last one. Who had the misfortune of sampling one of Fred and George's canary creams?
Was it Ron?
It was not Ron. My thought was what's his face? Dursley. The son.
Dudley.
Dudley, but it wasn't Dudley either. Because remember, they dropped a treat when they came and got Harry in that one book. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that treat. It was Neville Longbottom.
Oh, okay. I don't know that I would have guessed him.
Yeah, it was easier to guess when you had multiple choice.
Yep.
And Dudley wasn't even an option.
That was it?
Yeah, I mean, there's more, but that was all the ones I grabbed.
A Fred and George quiz and a Christmas quiz.
I don't know why that was Christmas. Like,
That's funny.
There's the film binge quiz, but I didn't like the first... Some of the questions, like, they asked who directed the Sorcerer's Stone, or they call it the Philosopher's Stone.
I don't know any of those answers.
That one turned out to be Chris Columbus. Mm. Do you know the very first line of the film? Philosopher's Stone? Or no. Sorcerer's Stone?
No.
So here's the multiple choice options. Okay. We're perfectly normal, thank you very much. Somebody's left something at the door, dear. I should have known that you would be here. Or good evening, Professor Dumbledore. Are the rumors true, Albus? I just got it right, by the way.
I think it was the second one.
Somebody's left something at the door, dear?
No, I'm trying to picture how the movie even started. Picture...
It actually starts very accurate to the book, which I like.
Isn't it Harry in it's... I don't think it's the Muggle... I think it's the Muggle world. I don't think that it's the Wizarding world.
Yeah, it's the Muggle world.
So I don't think that it's anything with wizards. So what was the first option?
We're perfectly normal. Thank you very much.
I think that's what it was.
No. Oh. I should have known that you'd be here. It's them dropping him off at their door as a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. McGonagall, like the whole day. Well, yeah, in the movies. Yeah. So in the book, you get the Dursleys noticing that McGonagall as a cat is just sitting on their wall.
Yep.
And stuff like that. But in the movie, the first thing that anyone says is Dumbledore walks up and he sees McGonagall as a cat. And before she even turns into a human, he's like, I should have known that you'd be here.
Yep. Okay.
Some of these movie ones, though, are just kind of like dumb stuff. What color is the sock that Dobby gets at the end of Chamber of Secrets? Like, who cares?
Blue with a white stripe.
It was gray. I already got it right. Good guess, though, Ricky. You didn't even get the multiple choice. In the Chamber of Secrets book, Miss Weasley magically fixes Harry's broken glasses. Who repairs them in Diagon Alley in the film?
Hermione.
I'm pretty sure you're right. And yep, it was Hermione. This is why I didn't do the movie one, though, because I got through like three of them. They were all dumb, like director. Like, you had to get the multiple choice options for most of them, and I didn't want to read all those. Mm. But.
Those were harder. The questions that we do, because we've done a... Or Mark has done a Harry Potter trivia round at where we go play trivia on Thursdays, and they're super, super simple questions.
Well, he does most of his stuff like off his own knowledge.
Yeah. He makes the questions up himself.
So
if I find a trivia night down here, you guys would come down for it?
Of course. Sick. You have to meet the mysterious Deidre Woolley friends that don't exist.
They don't.
I'm the only one.
Well, no, none of them hang out, so... they're married.
Well, I'm Ricky, Kyle, and Coy.
Our married friends don't really do a lot.
Yes. Wait, Matt, most of our group is married at this point, too.
Yeah, but they actually go out and do shit because they live in Seattle.
Well, we don't really... I mean, the go out and do shit is literally gathering at a bar in Kirkland and playing trivia. We don't... I guess we... Last Saturday or two Saturdays ago, we went out for LP's birthday, but, I mean, that's rare that we spend that much time and do something so extravagant like that.
Yeah, most of our hanging out is like over here. It's like UFC nights. Like Hook and Liz, literally, Liz says after six is too late.
That's
although she breaks that all the time. But no, they've literally been like, hey, after six is like chill time. I think that's what they say. But God. No, we do stuff. But Hook, I mean, our friend Corey just got back from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I don't know, small town. No, we should probably find somewhere like in Marysville or something, somewhat in between. We could probably find a trivia night.
How far away is Edmonds from you guys?
It's over an hour.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty far.
Yeah.
It's
so we can meet.
Literally, it's 20 minutes from you.
That's not true. Edmonds is farther than that.
It is true. That friend Whitney, who I hung out with when I stayed there, lives in Edmonds. I've driven there from West Seattle, and I've driven there from Cedar Valley.
Okay, fine.
It was like an hour 10 from here and like 20, 25 minutes from West Seattle.
Yeah, you know better than I do what would be halfway. We can even go more than halfway.
I know. We did an impromptu one like a year ago. We were just like, we're at a bar down here watching
basketball.
The NBA playoffs were on. So I was like, hey, you guys want to come out and get food and watch basketball? And then they started trivia. And so we just did it and got third. Second. No, we got second.
Well, you guys had done a terrible first round. Then I showed up for the second and completely saved you.
I mean, it's true we did terrible in the first round and then came back and won, but or came back and got second. But I don't really know how much you had to do with it.
It is. Oh. It depends on the categories and depends on who's there, because there was a category tonight that was presidents. And if Kyle hadn't been there, I mean, it was me and LP.
Yeah, Kyle's a teacher.
Nice. Yeah.
And he knows, he's a big history guy too, right?
Yeah. He's a history teacher. That's what he's. Okay. Yeah.
Explains why he always knows so much about history.
Yeah. So we got most of that round. We got most of that round right. But then for boy bands, me and LP got all of them. So
who's your favorite boy band?
I mean, I've got to go with NSYNC.
Thank God. Because if you were Backstreet Boys, I would have had to end the call.
Can you include the Jackson 5?
Jackson 5 is...
I guess they're the OGs, huh?
They're all boys.
Jackson 5 was in there.
Was
New Kids
on the Block in that?
ABC.
Kids on the Block was pretty sweet.
Oh, NKOB, hell yeah. Growing up, they're the shit.
The groups tonight were Jackson 5, Backstreet Boys was one of them, NSYNC, Boys to Men, New Kids on the Block. Yeah.
Hey, we had someone talking to us in the background too.
Yeah.
It's great.
No LFO?
So the trivia that we did on there, it's this one guy, Mark, started it. Was it Beat the Geek trivia? So he actually does it at like, God, is it like a dozen bars now?
Yeah, he has 12 trivia hosts that work for him now.
That's badass.
But yeah, it's a full 5 rounds. Like it's legit trivia. I mean, the one we did was, it was like 40 questions, I guess.
It was pretty big.
It wasn't bad, but it was like 2 rounds of like 20 questions each, which it's cool doing the 5 different categories.
And there's a picture. There's always a picture round, and there's always a music round. It's good.
Way back in the day, we used to always get at Longhorn every week. I don't know if you're here for that. You might have been out of
I did like once or twice because someone was reminding me about it. I didn't really remember. So apparently, we like won once when I was there.
We did. That was the only time we won.
Every once in a while, I contribute.
We never spent the money.
Did you spend the money at the bullpen?
Yeah.
Because you got the $10 gift card.
That on 4th of July, remember?
Is that when you spent it?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Nice. I didn't even I forgot. I don't know. Any other things you'd want to bring up or talk about? I always ask people if they want to talk about, like, Trump or religion or Obama or...
Trump or Obama. Go.
We don't have enough time. We don't have enough time.
Ask people if they want to talk about things I know they won't talk about.
Yeah, we definitely don't have time to talk about that. So I'm going to pass. Hard pass on that.
No, I don't know if everyone wants to talk about anything controversial.
I would love to talk about the clusterfuck that is our president, but we don't have enough time.
I don't really know enough about it other than that I hate him.
It's pretty ridiculous.
I actually ended up talking to somebody in the lunchroom about it today. They said something about him. He's like, I don't really care who's president. And then he said something about his company. He's like, yeah, well, I mean, he ran 4 companies bankrupt. He's like, well, what about all his successful ones? I was like, well, the problem is he runs the ones bankrupt because it's a corporation and it's separate. So he basically bleeds all the money into his own accounts. And then when it has no more, it goes bankrupt. So with a country, you can't do that. You run the debt up. There's no one to file bankruptcy to. Our debt's just $15 trillion, and then he's out.
Yeah.
Like, what if he gets elected again? I was like, well, then after that, he'll be out. Either way.
Yeah.
It'll be even worse.
And now he's going to live in a world where now he made the tax laws to where corporations and CEOs...
Hit it himself.
Don't... And the guy's like, yeah, but I got a lot of money back on my taxes, like, for 3 years. And then our tax rate starts going back up.
Mm-hmm.
The corporation's tax rates don't start going back up.
Son of a bitch.
Do you know a lot about it? I just can't get past, like, okay, so beyond all of the really deep level stuff that he's doing to our economy and stuff, he is actually so stupid that I can't stand to listen to him. He I was watching the news the other day, and he was talking about wind power and solar power, and it wasn't going to work because it wasn't windy all the time.
Because he has money invested in coal.
I'm not kidding. He's literally talking about how wind power won't work because it doesn't blow all the time. And quote, I know a lot about wind and it doesn't blow all the time. And that's not going to work. And solar panels don't work because it's not sunny all the time. So,
well, I think you had posted after the forest fires in California when he blamed Finland.
Sweep the forest.
Although, and then there was like, forest
this is
fires.
What they, this is what they do in Finland. They're very good. Yes. And then some guy from Finland responded. No, it's like
not just some guy. It was an entire like culture of mocking Trump and sweeping the forest, and them literally like this whole. It was so many videos of people out in Finland with rakes in their hands sweeping their yard, and like, yep, this is how we keep forest fires down. We're raking the leaves.
Oh fuck!
I mean, not the word of the best sources of this question as is, but has there ever been anyone in the history of the world who can say things like this and they just don't go, like no one reacts anymore because he said so many things that like now there's no time to react to something he says because by the time you do, he's already said something else that's like what? And everyone's just numb to it at this point.
Pretty much.
Truly, truly mind-blowing to me that there are people that still follow him and listen to him and take what he says as truth and fact too is
an
the
actual
biggest
knowledge.
Oh, I know a lot about wind because you know I'm I go
look at my toupee. I keep it on my head.
It is truly not logical that there are people that will listen to him and think it is fact, and I can't comprehend it. I don't get it.
I mean, if nothing else, he's shown us how divided the country really is on a lot of stuff, yep. Which maybe isn't bad. It's one of those things where it's like
holes in the structure of the government that a man with absolutely no political history at all and no any kind of experience was elected president. Like that's a problem. That's.
Well, I guess Reagan got some experience before, right? But he was a former, wasn't he? Yeah, he was a former TV actor.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least he was an actor. He had to learn scripts.
That's true.
Trump did reality TV. He just said, you're fired.
Wasn't even good reality TV.
No, I saw him. But yeah, it's interesting times. Interesting times for sure.
Yep. That's what I say is that it's going to be interesting to look back in 10, 15 years and to talk about the specific stage and like what actually happens. It'll be really interesting to look back and see what changes.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how we look back on this as a country. And if his supporters come around or if
they magnify, that would be, I can't even imagine that.
I guess it'll. I don't know. Yeah, I don't. History is written by the victors.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. Not enough time in the night to talk about Trump.
Nope. But yeah, I have to slowly get people from the Seattle friend group on. Actually, Nate would be interesting. He's got a lot of weird hobbies.
He does. He's building a rocket ship right now, if you want to ask.
That's what I heard. He got into model rockets. So it's like... Yeah. It's a lot easier to have people on who you know certain interests because people are not very forthcoming. Like I just asked you, like anything else you want to talk about? You said no. And that's literally what everyone says. Anytime we're like, anything you would like to talk about, like on the show or anything like that, you know, we could get into. I don't know. Whatever you guys want.
So I mean, it's tough. I'm pretty boring. I think I like calligraphy.
It's just everybody is kind of like, it's your show. We'll talk about whatever you want. Like, well.
Our show is centered around our guests.
Yeah. So it definitely makes it easier when we know interest. But no, I mean, everyone, it'd be fun to get everyone on the group eventually. And we need to start doing more videos, too. We got to start getting our YouTube subscribers up. We have like 11.
Not bad.
We need 1,000 to start making money.
Yeah, we're only 900 short.
900? Like 990?
Even you guys.
I really thought we'd get more support from people on Facebook. Like, it's just subscribing. Like, it's push a button.
Facebook is a dead zone. Nobody clicks links.
But, no, it's fun. Thanks for coming on. I mean, unless you got something else that comes up.
Very nice to meet you.
All of a sudden right now.
It's very nice to I still don't think that you exist in real life. I'm not going to actually... I'm not going to think that you exist in real life until I meet you in person.
This is green screen.
You caught Ricky at a good time, too. This podcast has been great for kind of both of us of, like, opening up and shit. This is way more than Ricky talks to someone he doesn't know normally.
If we were at a bar and we were hanging out, you wouldn't hear a word from me.
Yeah, if you met him in real life, it would be different. And early on in the podcast, he wasn't talking near this much. He was more color commentary. With you, he was like throwing out questions. I was like, sweet.
Yeah, okay, cool. See, I still don't think that he's a real human yet, so we'll have to see.
A real human? Like, come on. It's one thing to say you don't know if he's like really my friend. He's clearly a real human. Like, I didn't...
You're Aladdin and I'm the genie.
I didn't invent a robot, like an animatronic fucking robot.
You're just saving your third wish.
I would have way more episodes out if he was a robot and I, didn't have a job.
Well, we'll see if this actually happens when you somehow merge your Seattle friends and your woolly friends.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
There's about three of us that go out of the county.
No, yeah, we could. Like I said, you're going to be in Hawaii 16th. I want to come to more Mariners games this year, especially now that I have a job where I only work literally half the days every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'll be able to go to some weeknight games.
I love going to Mariners games. I'm always down to go to a Mariners game.
Who's your all-time favorite Mariner?
Ooh, good question. Jay Buhner.
Nice. You get a lot of love for Edgar on the show, none for Jay.
No, but Jared put Jay on his pantheon.
That's true.
Of Mariners. So when Ichiro retired, our friend Jared Johnson, who does a podcast called Rain City Sports.
Shout out.
And we're kind of doing a network thing, whatever. Northern State Podcasting Network. So he asked us about where we would put Ichiro on the pantheon, or asked me, I guess. He didn't even ask Ricky.
I'm not really a Seattle guy.
Yeah, Ricky's not a Seattle sports fan. He's from California. And roots for Yankees and Cowboys. It doesn't make sense.
But, I have reasons.
Yeah, we've been through it all. But so he asked us, the pantheon of Mariners, where we put Ichiro. I had Ichiro 3. He had Ichiro.
I had Ichiro 4 behind Unit.
I think he had Ichiro 4 behind Griffey, Edgar, and Buhner. Buhner up there. Which, look, if you're going to say most loved, Buhner was a fan favorite.
You never lived.
I don't know that I would say he's most loved. I think most.
Not most, but I mean, he's up there.
Huh? Shave Your Head Nights? You remember Shave Your Head Night at the Mariners game? So many people would be
in. He was up there. He was a fan favorite. Even Dan Wilson.
Oh, Dan Wilson was a fucking fan.
Yeah. But I mean, most popular are Edgar and Griffey.
Yeah.
Edgar, I'm saying he was
up there. Like,
yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. But
you're just talking most loved. Buhner probably gets in the top five.
There's a lineup because Cora is very fondly remembered around here.
Joey Cora, yeah. His brother's got a ring. Cowboys. I mean, the Red Sox.
But I played, so I've met Jay Buhner a few times, but I was too starstruck to actually say anything to him. When I was playing Select, Fast Pitch in high school. And his daughter also played Select Fast Pitch. And he would be at the tournaments that I would go to as like a dad. He would be in the stands. And I'd seriously
She played down here in Woolley.
I could never say hi. My coach knew him on a first name basis. Rich, my coach, would go over and, oh, hey, Jay. Oh, hey, Rich, what's up? And they'd shake hands and stuff. And I was too starstruck to ever go and say hi.
Yeah, I remember because there was a tournament here in Woolley my cousin was playing in, and I went, and people kept being like, oh, yeah, that's Jay Buhner's daughter over there. But he wasn't there.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, he was at a lot of the ones that I played at. But he's my favorite because of his weird stance. He had a really wide stance.
Casual. His left leg was just kind of out there.
That was fun to do when he played backyard baseball.
That was my batting stance because of my stupid eye. So he was my favorite to watch, and he is my favorite player.
Yeah, we didn't even get into her stupid eye.
Dang.
I don't think he can even tell. He's looking at an angle. Well, I mean, it's hard to tell just sitting looking right.
Doesn't he have... He's got a glass eye or something, doesn't he?
There's something wrong with him, which is why I always he was always my favorite because I can't move my left eye and he has some sort of a weird eye. So he was always my favorite.
And it was like, so it's like a one in a million thing? Is that it? So she is an M tattooed behind her ear.
Nice. I have it behind the ear tattoo too.
Because M is Roman numeral for a million, right?
No, it's 1,000, but a line over the top of it makes it a million. So it's basically, it's super simple. I'm missing a nerve on the left side of my brain that controls the movement of my left eye this way. So.
Oh, dang.
I can see out of it.
So if you look, actually, you can see her head, she's tilted toward the right. Yeah, so then her left eye is lined up. Like I said, people around you don't even think about it. You usually bring it up before people notice.
Well, because I run into things a lot. Sometimes I will be like reaching for something and if I'm not looking right at it, or if I'm cross-eyed, I will miss it. I like won't get it. It doesn't affect very many things in my life, but I think I'm gonna have surgery again actually to fix it, but that's not going to be till this summer.
But it's not a permanent fix, right? You were telling me about that.
It's not, because they can't do anything. They can't somehow regenerate and implant a nerve, but they take my eyeballs out and they move the muscles around and they fix the placement of where my eye sits in its socket. So that my face, the only thing it fixes is that my face will be straight, so that my nose is actually pointed straight. Blowing out candles is very hard for me. That's probably the hardest part, because I can't, what I'm looking at straight is not actually straight in front of me. So blowing out candles is a challenge for me.
It's very brave to get that surgery just for a temporary fix.
I mean, I just have to get used to a different field of vision, but
it's... Me, I'd just be like, yeah, fuck it.
What about to do a surgery where you know they're going to take your eyes out?
Yeah.
Could potentially go wrong there.
I had the surgery when I was in high school, but they told me that it wasn't going to be permanent. And so I feel like 15 years later, it's time to go back and get it done again.
Yeah. Anyway. I mean, I guess. I'm not an expert. Take your word for it.
Yep.
Yeah. Nothing else come up? No, I think it's a good place to wrap up, I guess. This is how things turn into a two-hour podcast. We're at an hour and a half already, as is.
Nice.
But usually the conversation just drifts off into randomness.
And then we hit a...
Although usually that's because we start talking Marvel movies and shit.
Oh, I'm not going to contribute to any of those conversations.
I know, that's why I didn't bring it up. Ricky was going to go see Shazam. That's DC's wannabe funny...
Wannabe? DC is better than Marvel.
Yes.
Batman is better than anything Marvel will ever do.
Yeah, not the movies.
Yes.
The movies are not
even
better.
The ones that we've already banked. Dark Knight Trilogy? It's not going to get better than Dark Knight Trilogy.
You can't even count that.
Yes, you can.
DC
it's fucking Batman.
Movies started after that. But yeah, like I said, thanks, Gunan. I'm going to try to get this up tomorrow.
Dang.
Quick okay.
Because otherwise, I pretty much have to wait till the beginning of next week, because I learned that putting them out on the weekends is an awful idea.
You guys better both share it in group chat.
People don't get
we will.
On Reddit, because I shared on Reddit, and people do not get on Reddit on the weekends, apparently. Anytime I've put an episode out on the weekend and shared it on Reddit on a Saturday, like, no downloads.
We'll clip your explanation of your company, and then we'll make a commercial for you.
And just so you know, I'm definitely going to steal a picture off of your Facebook for promoting it on Instagram. I don't ask people.
Okay.
You're at least getting a heads up. I don't even tell people. I just like take a picture off their Instagram and make a promotional thing to put on Instagram.
Public domain.
That's fine.
Our Instagram is totally dead.
Facebook's public domain, even if your account's private?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But it's not private to me. And then tell people to download this so that eventually we can make money. Okay. They don't have to listen.
Huh?
They don't have to listen. I don't care if anybody listens.
I want to go back and I want to listen to this one.
The less listeners, the better.
Ooh, that's brave. I didn't listen to the first couple I was on. It took me to like episode 5 or 6.
Listen to most of them. I listen like while I'm editing, so I get bits and pieces. But it's disconcerting how often I realize I said the wrong thing of what I thought I said.
Well, you also pronounced Quidditch as Quidditch, so you need to work on some of your speech there, Matt.
Quidditch.
Not right.
It was so like, oh yeah.
This is what I hate when they make movies out of shit. You can pronounce it however you want when it's a book. And then they make a movie, and they make up their own pronunciation for Hermione, which was not how I pronounced it when I read it.
Oh, how did you pronounce it?
I don't even remember at this point. Like, I don't remember at all. I hate that.
It was probably emphasis on a different syllable than Hermione.
And now, anytime I reread the books, I picture the faces of the actors.
Yeah. I'm going to start calling you... I don't even know how I would do that. At Matt.
Yeah, you can't fuck up my name.
I can't. That's too simple.
Even when you spell it wrong, it's pronounced the same. Drop a T, still Matt.
Yeah.
It's just now it's a doormat.
You can go with Vagu.
Oh, yeah. Last name definitely be pronounced. I got Vogue. People call it Vogue. Like, it's V-A. It's a real word. If you read it in any other context, you would pronounce it right.
Yeah.
It is a real word.
It's yeah.
It's even spelled the same.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Interesting.
Which is ironic.
I second guess myself there.
Just figured that out. Huh?
You're not vague at anything. You always overexplain everything.
I'm considering doing a solo podcast where I just spend 10 to 20 minutes just overanalyzing and venting about something.
You do that. So, okay.
You think that would be entertaining?
I don't know about entertaining, but that's definitely something that you do. So I could see it.
The funny thing is, I'm still enjoying whatever I overanalyze, usually.
You know, Matt, what you could do for that is you could have Nate on with you. I feel like he would actually really enjoy that. You and Nate could go back and forth.
No, that would be good. We could definitely have some good... We would feed off each other. Problem is, I'm trying to come up with a solo one because then I can actually make sure it's just easier. Because that's the hardest. This is I love doing this podcast, but that's the hardest thing about this is we have to not only coordinate me and Ricky's schedules, but then also a guest.
Yeah.
Or sometimes multiple guests. Like getting Hook and Liz on a night that they're both off and
Even getting Corey.
Yeah, the first time we tried to get our friend Corey when he came back and he was like, When am I on? I was like, what about tomorrow? Okay. And then canceled.
Yeah.
Got him on.
It is also after midnight. So
we don't usually do it this late. This was for you. We're accommodating your schedule. She was talking about doing it before trivia. I was like, well, I work.
Also, then I would have been late for trivia because we just keep talking. So.
I mean, were you not late for trivia anyway?
No, I was not. I was on time.
It's rare.
I'm proud of myself. I have been on time for my job almost every day. Thank you very much.
Almost every day. You've been there for 3 weeks and it's not even every day still?
No. Almost every day.
I'm at 2 months. I've not been late yet at my job.
I'm not surprised by that. You are much better at that than I am.
Yeah,
I'm usually sitting in my car for 15 minutes listening to podcasts.
I could see that.
Well, it's funny, too, because in the interview, he was like, I mean, you're a temp for 90 days. Pretty much if you're late or miss a day in that 90 days, you're gone. Well, the guy who started the same day as me and the guy who started a week and a half later were late so much before they got fired. It became pretty clear. I could probably, and I'm way better than they were, so I probably could be a piece of shit employee and still keep my job.
Nice. It was the worst of Domino's because you're like, I know you fuckers are going to keep me for a half hour to 3 hours. So I'm not going to show up on time.
Yeah. Well, and then open was an hour before, but I was like, I need 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I was really bad, especially at Capitol Hill. I would never schedule myself because I always had two opening managers with me, or at least an opening manager and an opening CSR. And I had four drivers in the mornings every day. And they would make bets on when I was going to get into work. I was never going to be the first person, but they knew that I was always going to be there. I would always show up and I would always help, but my days would usually be 12-hour days. So I was never in when I said I was going to be in. I was always late.
But yeah, she's so our old high school friend of that group,
Colin,
you would be the Colin of the group.
All right.
One time we went to the water slides and we all were meeting at Ricky's house. And I got there, and Colin was already there. And he immediately was like, ha, 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 because he's always late, and we always give him shit about it. And he's like, ha, ha, I beat Veg here. And then Ricky was like, well, I did tell you half an hour before him. Yep. And he beat me by 5 minutes.
We do that with me sometimes, but we also do the LP and then my friend Amanda. We will actually tell them the wrong time so that they'll be there on time.
Oh, I didn't know that about Amanda and LP.
Oh, my God. Seriously? Matt, we went to a concert last week. We went to Maren Morris at Showbox.
Yeah.
We had dinner reservations at 5:15. LP showed up at 7.
Oh, so when Kyle's not coming.
No, Kyle was there too.
Oh.
LP showed up at 7 p.m. for 5:15 reservations.
I don't feel like that's a normal, I don't know. I didn't accept.
She's bad. Maybe you just haven't been paying attention because you give me so much crap about it, but she's just as bad as me.
Probably, I think I probably give you less crap than most people. I don't really care if it doesn't affect me.
It's true.
Hmm?
Okay.
We should let you go to bed. You have a meeting in 4.5 hours.
I do. I have for like a work meeting.
All right. Well, so for the third time.
Thanks for coming on. Very nice to meet you. Kind
of. And
you too.
Yeah, I don't know when our group's hanging out again. We got nothing yet, so.
I'll see you after I get back from Maui.
When are you actually there?
I leave on the 13th. Birthday's on the 11th. I'm going to a wedding on the 12th and leaving on the 13th.
When is that? Cause are you guys doing, or that was the concert you guys just did. Wasn't there a Dan and Shay concert too?
That's a week from today. That's on my birthday.
Sweet. Well, I wasn't planning on going to that, but we'll see.
Okay.
If there's tickets and if I'm working. It's one of those dreaded things where I'm not working that day.
But you work the morning.
I work the next morning at 5:50.
Yeah, don't do it. It'd be a super late night. Don't even worry about it. I'll see you when I get back.
All right. We'll have fun.
We'll come up to Cedro.
Yeah, hey. I'll have to look up trivia shit. They were having that Farmstrong. I mean, if you guys want to come all the way up to Mount Vernon, Farmstrong has shit all the time.
Yeah.
Comedy nights and trivia.
Okay.
But
we'll do it.
All right. Well, see you later. Glad you and Ricky finally met. He's a real human. We don't really have a cast sign off.
We don't.
This has been a Northern State Podcasting production.
That sounds good. I like it. You should work with that.
All right. Bye.
Bye.